Will Britain pass go to Brexit trade talks, and why there's little economic incentive for peace in Yemen?
There just isn't an economy that people can make money from outside of joining an armed group.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Britain's leader Theresa May has an important lunch in Brussels today to see if she's made enough progress to get to Brexit's crucial step two, trade talks. The big sticking point is the border between Northern Ireland, part of the UK, and the rest of Ireland. The BBC's Kamal Ahmed explains.
They won't get an agreement about what that border will look like. The border between Northern Ireland, which is, as you say, part of the UK, and the Republic of Ireland, which is part of the EU, is the only land border that will exist between the UK and the EU. If Britain is not a member of the single market and the customs union, that will mean that that border will have to be in some way regulated. And at the moment, it's a totally open border. The Republic wants to keep it open. The British government wants to keep it open. How you do that if you're not in a single market together is the tricky thing.
What kind of impact do you think today's meeting is going to have in Britain economically?
If there's a breakdown, that is not going to be good for both sides. And so any developments today that show that there's not going to be that breakdown, that the negotiations continue, would be seen as good by the markets.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are broadly higher. London's FTSE 100 is up 57 points, or 0.79%, ahead of Theresa May's meeting in Brussels. Now, India's government has its eyes on a court in London today as the extradition hearing begins for a man who owes banks a lot of money. He's the liquor and airline baron, Vijay Mallya. The BBC's Samir Hashmi in Mumbai told me more.
Vijay Mallya owned this airline called Kingfisher Airlines, which didn't do well. And just to run the airline, he had borrowed over $1 billion from different Indian banks. But the airline went bust. It was grounded in 2012. And Mr. Mallya never paid back the banks. So the banks filed charges against him in the courts to recover those loans. But as those cases started, he flew off to UK to avoid the courts here in India. Simultaneously, the Indian government has also filed charges against him of money laundering. They say that the money that was borrowed from these banks was actually not used to run the airline business, but was diverted to other businesses. Now, unlike other countries, in India, 70% of the banks are owned by the government. So what people think here is if you're defaulting on your loans, then you're actually using taxpayers' money and wasting taxpayers' money. And that's why the Indian government is very keen to bring him back to India, convict him in India, to prove that this government is serious about convicting people who are involved in corruption or have misused the system to favor them or their businesses or their family members. And that's why Vijay Mallya case has become so important.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi. With a new wave of airstrikes and combat in Yemen today, there's further worry for the 29 million people already in need of humanitarian help. Jan Egeland is a former UN Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs. He's now head of the Norwegian Refugee Council.
You're playing with the lives of millions. You will have this on your conscience forever if you let us now slip into famine. There are more than 20 million vulnerable civilians there. They should drag these men to the negotiating table, and they should demand a ceasefire today.
Now, Peter Salisbury is an expert on Yemen. He's just written a piece on Yemen and the business of war. He says there's little economic incentive to give up the conflict.
All of a sudden, you've got these groups who weren't treated well by the government, whose areas weren't developed, and they have access to arms, which means they can control their areas, but they can also tax their areas. So not only have they become more powerful in terms of their hard power, they're also earning what seemed to them like sustainable revenues. And when you look at what any peace deal offers, it effectively says, lay down your arms, give back control of the country to a centralized state, and, you know, shut down your checkpoints, stop taxing local markets, stop controlling the smuggling trade, so on and so forth.
Yet, Peter, what we're seeing, of course, are images of children so stunted by famine, by cholera, they can barely move. Is there an economic lever that can be used to find a solution here?
The issue here is that that problem can't be solved overnight. There are some quick fixes, which include letting as much food into the country as possible to bring down the cost of basic goods, which includes giving the central bank quite a lot of money in dollars so it can better manage the value of the real, which in turn brings down the cost of basic goods in local markets. But in the longer term, the real issue is how do you get money in people's hands? There just isn't an economy that people can make money from right now outside of joining an armed group, engaging in smuggling, or leaving the country. And in order for that to happen, you need not just an end to the war, but a stable political settlement. And you need really deep focus on how do we create jobs and how do we create livelihoods.
That's Peter Salisbury of the think tank Chatham House. Finally, it's a thriving market for crypto kitties. That's a new game based on the Ethereum blockchain. You breed virtual cats, you sell them, and you pay about a 3% fee each time. According to TechCrunch, $1.3 million worth of transactions have taken place so far. Some say it's a bit like Beanie Babies. We all know what happened there. Live from the BBC World Service, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.